Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. We're thankful this morning for what the Lord has done for us. We're thankful for His amazing grace. I'm thankful, as the choir sang this morning, I'm glad that we love Him because He first loved us. And I'd ask that you pray for us this morning. We honestly didn't know if this was entirely where the Lord wanted us to be, but we got the go-ahead, so we're going ahead. So you pray for us this morning. We want to do all we can while we can. We want to, as Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, we don't want to speak to you out of man's wisdom, but we want to talk to you out of power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Man's wisdom is trying its very best to conquer this world. And man's wisdom is full of religion, and hell is full of religion. And I want to speak to you this morning out of the Spirit of God, and certainly there's nothing that we could say of our own accord that would do any good to you in eternity. But I want the Word of God to speak to you this morning. And as we've already said, and we want to say once again, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, I hope before this day draws to a close that you can bow in an altar somewhere and confess Him as your Savior. I want to speak to you this morning. I'm going to preach, God being our helper, on the four horsemen in Revelation chapter number 6. We're going to read about the first eight verses, and we're going to spend a majority of our time in the first two verses, but we feel this is needful for not only this day, this time, and this age we live in, because I want to speak. You know, the Bible says this, and I want to speak to you out of the Word of God. The Bible said that the Word of God was spiritually written, and it's also to be spiritually discerned. Amen. So many times today we take the Bible, we open it up, and we read it like the Gainesville Times, and we think that it's got to go from A to Z, and we fit everything accordingly. But that's what confused Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. Jesus told him, said, you must be born again. He wasn't talking about a physical rebirth. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. Nicodemus said, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus declared, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, I declare unto you, you must be born again. And so I want to speak to you this morning. I want to preach to you on the conquering King. And I've been preaching on the King for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Amen. But I tell you what, I'm enjoying it. I really am. I don't know if you are or not, but I am. But we're going to read this right here in Revelation chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard a third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with death, excuse me, and with the beasts of the earth. And we believe that'd be all God would have us to read. And you're hearing this morning, we pray that God richly add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And as we look right here, we want to focus the text that we had on our heart this morning is the conquering king. And I will preach to you about these four horses. Amen. And you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And listen, I'm glad today that the Word tells us in, He said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to speak to you this morning. There's so many people, and I didn't come this morning to confuse not a soul, but I want to preach to you out of the Word of God. I want to preach to you what the Word of God says. Amen. And because we have so many outside influences today on the doctrine which we believe. And listen, there's so many people looking for things to come. And there's so many people looking for what's ahead. But I want to speak to you about what's going on right now. Amen. And now the Bible says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And now, if we interpret the book of Revelation chronologically, we could run into a lot of different problems, a lot of different issues, but the book of Revelation is a book full of types and of symbols, and it's different pictures that the Lord reveals to us. Sometimes we see John speaks to us from the back of the church, and sometimes he speaks to us from the front of the church, and sometimes he speaks to us from above. But listen, the Word of God is true. Amen. I want to speak to you about the conquering king. I've heard so many people, they declare that we're looking for a coming king, and I believe that I am looking for a coming king. But not only am I looking for a coming king, I now have a conquering king. Now, I'm not looking for him. He's with me now. Amen. Listen, the Word of God tells us this in the book of Luke. The Pharisees, they came to Jesus and they say, Lord, tell us, when shall thy kingdom come? And Jesus made this very profound declaration. He said, say not lo here or lo there. He said, for the kingdom of God cometh not. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Otherwise, let me tell you this, it will never be seen. Amen. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We have a king. Amen. Yes, I'm looking for the king to come, but I want us as the church today, so often we take the Word of God and we try to apply it to what may come or what we might see, or are we the generation that the Lord's coming back? And listen, we miss the fruits of the Word of God if we're constantly looking into the future. What I want you to look at right now is today we have a king. The Bible said, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Amen. Now the Bible tells us, I won't speak to you about this conquering king, because so often, a lot of different doctrines, theologies, perspective, especially on the terminology of eschatology, they were refer to this as the Antichrist, but I'm here to declare to you today, this is not the Antichrist, this is not the devil, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is only one
one person. The Bible declares unto us, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 12, at the beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John said, and I beheld, and listen, he said, I heard a voice behind me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, being clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The Bible said his head and his hairs were white as snow, white like wool. And the Bible tells us that out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. In his hand he had seven stars. The Bible declares unto us that his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. Amen. There's so many explicit things speaking to us about the King of today. Amen. And John said, he said, I looked, and when I seen him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and he said, John, fear not. He said, for I am he that was dead, and am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. Listen, we have a conquering King today. Oh, listen, friends, the Word of God declares unto us, there's only one person that has conquered death. There is only one person that has conquered the grave. And there's only one person that has conquered hell itself. And that is the present reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, the Bible speaks to us. I want to read to you over here in the book of Revelation in the 19th chapter. And listen, I honestly didn't come this way this morning. We hear this all the time. We're looking for this white horse to ride. Amen. How many times have you heard that? And I didn't come to dispute anybody, nor did to get an argument. I just want to speak to you about what the Word of God says. Listen, in Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Listen to this. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now listen, this is the vesture that he was clothed with. And it says, and he was clothed with a vesture that was dipped in blood. Amen. Well, friends, listen to me. I'm glad today that I'm not saved by my goodness, but I'm glad that I'm clothed and cloaked in the vesture of his righteousness. And his righteousness is the blood that was shed on Calvary. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name, listen to this, and his name is called what? What does the Bible say? And the name, his name is called the Word of God. Amen. Listen to me, friends, this morning. I want you to take pleasure. I want you to enjoy the present King, not the, listen, I'm glad that we have a coming King, ain't you? Listen, I'm glad that he's going to deliver us from this low land of sin and sorrow. But so many Christians today, they don't enjoy the pleasures of the gospel because we look beyond the present King to the coming King. The Bible said his name was the Word of God. John 1 and 1, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, there was nothing made that is made. In him was light, and the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. One of my favorite verses, a passage of scripture, is in John 1 and 14. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Oh, listen today. I'm glad that I met the King as an 8-year-old boy. Amen. Listen, if you want to talk about a man riding a white horse, he rode by me one morning, and I'm glad that I jumped on. Listen. And the armies which were in heaven followed with upon him, upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Had he described that preacher, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, said, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and is forever set down on the right hand of the throne of God." The Bible speaks to us in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. What are the angels? The angels are ministers set forth to be ministers unto the heirs of salvation. Who is that? Me and you. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." My question to you, friends, this morning, is he the Lord of your life today? Can you leave this place with having the blessed assurance that you know that you have met the conquering King? Amen. Because I have met the conquering King, I'm looking for the coming King. But friends, today, listen, I want you to understand there's one in amongst us today, the gospel, the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love to picture in my mind's eye. Listen, I've thought about this many times as a congregation of people that are met together like this, as the gospel is declared, and the Spirit of God goes out and it just goes up and down every bench and every aisle, and the Spirit of God working from within, and it comes out. Friends, listen, and he goes from breast to breast and heart to heart, and he's going forth conquering and to conquer. Amen. This is a glorious picture of God's salvation. Listen, the Bible says, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Listen, and we see this person, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the gospel. He is the gospel. Amen. What is the gospel? The Bible tells us that it's the good news. Amen. He is the good news. Amen. Quit worrying about CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and current events and future events. And listen, what nations are strategizing against each other and how things are aligning. I'm not worried about it. Amen. Because I can take joy in knowing that I have a King now. Amen. You see what we miss? Because we say, "Lord, you can't come back. Because this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and we've got to have this great strategy." And listen, we have boldly, and abominably declared unto God what he can and cannot do. Amen. Let me tell you something. He can do what he wants when he wants, whether you like it or not. Amen. Don't you stand here and tell the one whom give the sun the glory to shine today what he can or cannot do. Amen. Listen, we set limitations on God. Listen, we put God in a box.
I made reference to this just briefly last week. We are the only inhabited planet in the universe. If we was further away, life couldn't survive because it'd be too cold. If we were closer to the sun, life couldn't survive because it would be too hot. Hey man, listen, this world is composed of roughly 70% water. And I said this last week, the earth spins on an axis. It is actually rotating and it's constantly turning at the equator somewhere around 1,000 miles an hour. Hey man, listen, I want you to understand today, God is the thread of all existence. If He stops it, it all comes crashing down. In Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Amen. The brittle thread of life is all in the existence of God's hand. Don't declare to me that, preacher, I can do anything I want, when I want, and the way I want to. God gives breath, and He takes it away. This could be the last message I ever preach. And preachers, I want to say this to you. That's why, listen, I've often said this, and I'm going to continue to say this. I'm not showing off. I want to do the best I can for the Lord. You know why? Because He gave the very best thing heaven had for me. And if we don't do anything but try and offer our very best, then we are doing an injustice to the gospel. Every time you say, well, I'm just going to give half, or I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was tired when He went up Golgotha's hill. Jesus didn't want to go. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed an humble prayer before God Almighty, and He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Endured the cross, despised the shame for you and for me. I'm going to get on with this. In verse 3. And when He opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Now I want to speak to you, listen, in two different ways. On a generalization of the entirety of the church. But I want to speak to you this morning in another way as well. I want to speak to you on an individual basis. As for me, the greatest day of my life in 1987, as I sat on the front bench beside my granddaddy at Beulah Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a little town called Big Willow, I'm glad the gospel was preached in the White Horse Road that day. But when the gospel comes, there's something that accompanies it. The Bible says, and when He'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and the word red, or the color red, excuse me, in the Word of God, it exemplifies, or it's symbolic of warfare or judgment. And so with that being in mind, the Bible says, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Now I want to speak to you about what the earth declares unto us. Jesus, the disciples went to Jesus, and you say, preacher, boy, this is getting long. Amen. Ain't it good? Say amen anyway, amen. Whether you want to or whether you like it or don't. The Bible says that the disciples, they came to Jesus. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth. As it is in heaven. Now, over the years of mistranslation, we have changed the word in to on.
And I believe it was a simple mistake, but I want to show you the difference. Now listen, when I went home last night, I left the church. I went home and I went in my house and went to bed. I didn't get on top of my house and go to bed. Hey, listen, I didn't get on my house, I went in my house. There is a vast difference in the reference to the gospel of being in and on. Why? This is the reason. The Bible said in the beginning God took, listen, he said, let us now come together and make man. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. First time we see them, we see a picture of them in the scripture. The Bible says that all three, they came together, they took, listen, they took the dust of what? The earth. The Bible says they took the dust of the earth and they formed it into a man. Now listen, when that man was formed, it was just a pile of dirt. Amen. But the Bible declares one thing. He said he breathed into the breath or into the nostrils of that man breath. And the Bible says, and therefore he became a living soul. Amen. So when Jesus makes reference to the earth, he's talking about the body, not about the world we live in. Listen, I know he wants his will. Listen, the Bible tells us that he's declared it. He said, rejoice ye heavens, in Revelation chapter 12, go back and read this. He said, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The Bible declares him as the power of the principality of the air, the ruler of darkness. Friends, listen to me. I'm glad that I'm not worried about, listen, this earth, but I am concerned about this one. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Brother Brody said Tuesday night, made an awesome declaration. He said, I'm not looking for the kingdom, I am the kingdom. I'm not looking for the temple, I am the temple. Boy, I wish the world over and over could hear that message. Friends, listen to me tonight or this morning. I'm glad that God's will, listen, I'm glad that God has a will in this body. Amen. That's why Paul said there's an inner man and an outer man, and there, listen, the flesh entangleth against the spirit and war is made. He said, but we've got to make a declaration before God. He said, I'll crucify this flesh and take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. Now listen, as we get into this, as the gospel goes out, listen, conquering and to conquer, listen, and those of you that's been saved, I want you to remember this day. The day I, listen, not only heard the gospel with these ears, but the day that I heard the gospel with these ears, amen. The day I heard, that's what, listen, that's what John wrote in the book of Revelation. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I'm glad the day that the gospel came and I hear and I heard with the ears of my heart. There was an accompaniment along with that. And now, this is where a lot of people in the church have a falling out. And I believe that this is where a lot of people have been misled of their own minds. You ever heard the old saying, a lot of people going to miss heaven by about 18 inches? Because they got it in here, but they never did get it here. Because, listen to me, the Word of God says that it is not a physical rebirth, but it is a spiritual rebirth. Friends, listen, I'm going to try and wind this thing up as quickly as I can. And there was another horse that was red. And this is to me, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God bears this out. There's one thing the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God does. The Bible says that it is a comforter in the time of need. Amen? Yes, it does. But listen, there's one thing that the Word of God tells us. In the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, the Bible said, I once was alive without the law, then the commandment came. came, sin revived, and I died. Amen. Listen to me. The Spirit of God brings one thing and one thing alone, and that is the sword. What is the sword? The sword is the Word of God. Listen, and when the Word of God through the gospel comes to those that are lost, it takes peace from the earth. And what do we call that? We call that conviction. You see, without conviction, there is no conversion. So many people today, they've heard, let me tell you, the day, you've heard my testimony, the day I got saved, on the outside of the church, there was not a thing in the world wrong with me. But by the time we got to the end of the service, I was lost. Amen. So what I'm telling you, friends, today is there is a change once the gospel has an effect. And the Bible said he was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword, the Word of God. And listen, when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And now, friends, listen, after we've heard the gospel, after the Spirit of God has convicted us, there comes a decision that has to be made. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Friends, to me, listen to me today. I'm telling you, once you've heard the gospel, once you've been convicted of the Spirit of God, and the peace that you once knew is gone. Amen. Listen, that's what the Bible speaks to us about. It's a rebirth. In Titus 3:5, he said, "Not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he washed us by the renewing and the regenerating of the Holy Ghost." Now judgment comes. The Bible said in the 3rd chapter of the book of Joel, multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Now this, I want people to be very careful. Because when you get to this point, there's so many people that are easily deceived. I'm going to tell you something. I believe any person that finds himself in a state of conviction, I believe I could take this word. I could believe I could get in the altar with them. I believe I could convince them that God has forgiven them. I believe I could make them quote some scripture that would convince them that they have been saved. I could tell them all you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is believe. Listen to me, because this is what is done today. And I'm telling you, and they take the word of the preacher as an experience of grace, not a conversion of the Holy Ghost. Preacher, you ought not preach that way. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of people in hell because they have a testimony of the preacher and not of the Holy Ghost. When judgment comes, the Bible said that multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Now I'm going to tell you, the day I got saved, I had to make a decision. It wasn't whether or not if God would save me. I knew God would save me, but I had to make a decision whether I was going to allow him to save me. Amen. And so many times I sat there, I wrestled. Listen, I'm not like a lot of others. Amen. I wasn't lost for 2 years or 5 years. I was lost about 5 minutes. Amen. But glory to God, I'm glad that when I got lost, there was a place of safety that I could go to in the Lord Jesus Christ. But decision came. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. How many of you here this morning sat in the balance of judgment of your soul's fate? Where will you spend in eternity? If the Lord were to return today, where would you spend eternity? The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. Amen. There's a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to have a certain span of time, or there's a place of purgatory. No, there is no place of purgatory. The scripture speaks plainly. In Luke 16, he said, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. Lazarus was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man declared unto Abraham, said, Lord, so, he said, Father Abraham, send him over that he may dip his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in these flames. He said, listen to me. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. He said, even though he could go, he can't. Even though you'd like to come across, you can't. Fixed. As you come to Silver City Baptist Church this morning, do you stand in the place of judgment? Do you need to get saved? Because so many people, they get hung in judgment. And when they get hung in judgment, and when death comes and you're hung in judgment, the Bible tells us the executioner of judgment then rides. He said, the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given over them to take the fourth part of the earth. Listen to me. The soul of this body has been conquered after judgment. If you never receive Christ as your Savior, death and hell shall follow. Stand to your feet this morning. Y'all, please come with a song. Listen, I don't know. I really don't know the intention of anybody's heart nor soul here today, this morning. But I want to say to you this. If preparation has been made for you to be saved today, why would you spurn this opportunity? Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, they have lived dangerously. You know, it's by God's mercy we hear of people, listen, they live to be 80. Listen, I have had the privilege personally. I've seen them saved in their 60s and their 70s, their 80s and 90s. But I've seen them die as a baby in a hospital. And oh, how it hurts. Listen, one of the painful things that I've had to do in my ministry, one of the hardest things as a pastor, there's two things that are just terrible. One's preaching the funeral of a lost person. And number two is having to look a mom and daddy in the face as they're having to bury their child. I'm telling you something, friends, this morning, I want you to get serious about the gospel. If you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, if you stand today in the balance of judgment, now is decision time. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What's your number, brother?
544.
What will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with Jesus? I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, the church has got to realize that there is decision that has to be made. Listen, I don't know the needs of these in the altar. I really don't. But I'm glad that God does. And listen to me, friends. If you feel the impression of God to come pray, I'm telling you something. There's nothing does my heart any better. The loneliest place in the world is one person in the altar. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends, this morning. Listen, I'm glad that there's somebody in this place that can bring and satisfy the needs of our heart. Amen. So, friends, listen to me this morning. If you don't feel like coming, I want you to pray where you are. We don't know the needs, but God does. But I want to ask you this question, those that still stand in our midst here today, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible declares unto us that every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you either do that this side of eternity or there. Friends, listen to me. You will declare Him King of all. Saved or lost, you will declare Him the Savior of the world. Listen, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. And I want to make clear reference to this today. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus was on Calvary, He didn't die for the first preacher. He didn't die for the first deacon. He didn't die for the first Sunday school teacher. He didn't die for the church member. He didn't die for the government. He died for the sinner. Amen. And I'm glad that I was included in that number. And by His grace and through His mercy, a sinner erected an altar in my heart, repented and confessed all, and the Savior came in. I'm not worried about what you are. I want to know who you are. You know, I've heard the saying my whole life, it don't matter who you are, it's who you know. That's a lie. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of people, but what the way that should go is it don't matter who you are, it's who knows you. I'm glad I know the Lord, but most of all, I'm glad that He knows me.